Reverend Moira, who is in Redondo Beach, says at her church, she says, you know, you have to get here early if you want to sit in the back. This is like the first two rows are almost empty. You all are back there. Crack up. Oh, well, welcome to the fourth week of our abundance program. We have been talking for the past month about abundance and abundant living and what it means to live an abundant life and how to live an abundant life and the things that enable us to bring it to live an abundant life. And so to live an abundant life then means to live a life that is filled with plenty. With plenty of the things that make for a rich and a rewarding and a fulfilling and a satisfying life. Plenty of those things that create that satisfying life. And so that means then to live in an abundant life means to live with enough love and enough friends and enough opportunities to express ourselves in the world and enough money and enough health and enough of whatever it makes for us to feel like our life is rich and fulfilling and satisfying. Because I know that every single one of us, we want to live a rich life, what feels like a rich life to us. We want to live our lives also with a sense of peace and a sense of ease that we will have whatever it is that we need to live that rich and satisfying life. We want to know that we will have enough of whatever it is that we need in order to thrive and in order to be successful in our lives. And so the title of my talk today is Opening the Floodgates. And I'm talking about a couple of things. I'm talking about one of the ways that we can increase that flow of good in our lives is by knowing that we are inseparable from the allness of God. Knowing that we are inseparable from all that God is. And also by knowing that there is indeed only one life, and it is the life of God, and that is the life that we are living, and that is the life that is living itself out by means of us. Because what happens is when we know that, and when we live out of that consciousness, when we live out of that conscious awareness, we become a more open conduit so that the good that God is can actually flow into us and fill our lives out of that recognition. And so knowing that we live in that I am presence, knowing that we live in that infinite potential of the universe, and knowing that that I am presence lives within us, and that infinite potential of the universe expresses in us and through us, creates an avenue for spirit to express, creates an avenue for spirit to unfold, creates a way. The way is then open. So our awareness of that and our beliefs around that, that presence fills our lives and fills us, act like the gate on a dam. And that awareness and that belief, like the gate on a dam, creates an opening or creates a closing, creates an open channel or creates a closed channel for the good of the universe to flow into our lives. And so Ernest Holmes, who is the founder of this philosophy, said, "Eventually, we shall understand that all human bondage is an invention of ignorance." All human bondage. That means ignorance that we live in a power and a presence that is infinite potentiality itself. That ignorance is ignorant to the fact that there is only one life and that that is our life. Ignorant to the fact that we have an inseparable connection with that one. And that we are inseparably connected to that oneness of life. It's like a fish lives in water. We live in that presence. And like water fills that fish's body also, that presence fills us. We cannot be outside of it. It is everywhere that we are, around us and within us. So the problem is that most of us were raised in a religion that taught us that God is a man who is up in the sky in heaven, separate and apart from us, and separate and apart from this material world, and separate and apart from everything in our lives. And that man God, we were taught to believe, rules and has whims and ignores and has preferences and plays favorites. And so even though today we are not practicing that religion of our childhood, we were indoctrinated into that. And what that means then is those beliefs still seep into our thinking. That still seeps in that God is separate and apart from us somewhere off, not in the midst of our lives. And so in ministerial school, one of the classes that I took was a world religions class. And one of the things that they talked about in that class is that every single religion has a cosmology. They have stories and ideas that they tell about how the world came into being or how humans came to be in the world. And every single one of those cosmologies, those stories, is based in the current power structure of the society that creates those stories. Hence, God is a man. Hence, God has favorites and has whims and can ignore you. It's stories that man has created that resembled and reflected the current power structure. Isn't that fascinating? And so those stories were made up thousands of years ago. And so today at Centers for Spiritual Living, and we have a new cosmology. We have an updated cosmology. And so at Centers for Spiritual Living, we say that God is a boundless power and a boundless presence that is everywhere present. We say that God is the energy of love and intelligence and creativity and peace and good without bound that fills all of time and space. We say that God is the source of everything that exists, the maintainer and the sustainer of all life, that God is forever unfolding itself and expressing itself as all that is in this universe. And that the nature of that power and that presence is to express. Its nature is to create. Its nature is to be all that it is everywhere present. And so that means that we are what is called a panentheistic philosophy. And so you've probably heard of pantheism, like Native Americans are pantheistic. Pantheism says that everything has a spirit, that the mountain has a spirit, and the stream has a spirit, and the river has a spirit, and the fox has a spirit. But panentheism says that spirit pervades and interpenetrates everything that is. Panentheism says that spirit is in and through everything while at the same time transcending this material world. And so my favorite cosmology comes out of Hinduism, who is a panentheistic religion. And so Hinduism, their cosmology story says that Brahma exhaled, and in that exhalation became everything that is. Isn't that lovely? And isn't that so easy to hold on to? You can just see that happening. And so that means that that presence is in and through everything because it became everything. And so Hinduism is panentheistic. So are most mystical traditions and many African traditions and Buddhism. Although Buddhism doesn't really believe in a thing they call God, but they believe in this thing called consciousness that permeates everything, which is what Ernest Holmes calls mind, the mind of God. And so Ernest Holmes' cosmology says that the manifest universe is the result of God's self-contemplation or God's self-knowingness. And it's a little harder to hold on to than God exhaled. And so when I think about it, it's as if God is recognizing what it is, all that it is, and in that recognition, without process, that is how everything has become come to be, in that self-recognition. And so then, God, or mind, or consciousness, intelligence, creativity, and boundless potential permeates everything. It pervades everything, and it extends beyond this material universe. And so you know what that means? It means you cannot be separate from that presence. It means your life is not outside of that presence. It means your life cannot be anything other than that presence unfolding itself. The life of God unfolding itself. That I am presence, the innermost God and the outermost God is one God. That's what Ernest Holmes says. That I am is expressing itself right here, right now, in this moment, and in this moment, and in this moment. Ernest Holmes says, human limitation has no existence from the standpoint of divinity. Bondage exists only in the human mind. We can be free as soon as we recognize that there is no power to bind us except ourselves. Our belief is the thing that binds us. Our focus on what isn't working is the thing that binds us. Our belief that that's just the way things are is the thing that binds us. Our attention on lack or limitation is the thing that binds us. And so how then do we get unbound? Through spiritual practice, through affirmative prayer, and through meditation, and through reading the writings of spiritual masters and spiritual study and taking classes, and through being in the silence of our own being. And so affirmative prayer helps us remember and see that that infinite presence is all around us. Affirmative prayer helps us remember that that presence fills our lives, that it is the all in all. And it helps us remember that that divine presence is the solution that we are seeking, is the answer to whatever problem, that it is contained in that presence. Affirmative prayer helps us remember that we are individualized expressions of that one and that it lives in us. It helps us remember that when we do spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer, that that one is outpicturing itself as our lives. And so meditation helps us have the felt experience of the truth of oneness. Meditation helps us move beyond our sense perception that says this is all that there is. And it helps us feel and know and have the actual experience of expansiveness, of something beyond this material world, of moving into that infinite realm and having the experience of our own wholeness, the essence of who we are. It allows us to directly perceive oneness and wholeness and boundlessness. And so in this book that we're using this month, 40-Day Mind Fast Soul Feast, Michael Beckwith says, you cannot find true satisfaction outside of fulfilling your highest destiny, realization of your oneness with spirit. Meditation helps us really get that fact, our oneness with spirit. It helps us feel that and know that and sense that. And so when we do spiritual study, when we read the writings of mystics and people who really understand that, what happens is it stirs that truth inside of us that already knows that. It's not like we're reading something from the outside and it's an idea that we're putting in. It's like, oh, this feels so good to read this because there's something in me that already knows it. I've just forgotten. And it helps wake that up. That's part of our awakening. And so that meditation moves us into a place of oneness that Michael Beckwith is talking about. That place of oneness that is the deepest satisfaction. And when we touch that place of oneness and know that place of oneness, that is the consciousness of seek me first and all else shall be added unto you. Because we recognize that the absolute potential of the universe is already where we are. That door of receptivity to all of our good, the door of receptivity to knowing spirit, opens from the inside. It opens from the inside. And so being in the silence of meditation, or just sitting in silence, what happens is it allows those gaps between our thoughts to become a little bit bigger. And it is those gaps between our thoughts where the infinite potential exists. You know, they say that like 90% of our thoughts, we've already thunk before. It's repetitive thinking that we do over and over. But if we create space in our thoughts, sitting in the silence, it allows something new to come through. Have you had that experience sitting in meditation where all of a sudden it's like you figure out how to say something or how to do something? Or how about that place like right before you fall asleep? You get creative ideas. I'll tell you, Saturday night before I fall asleep, comes to me how to say things and what it is that I need to do here and blah, blah, blah. It's amazing. Sometimes I don't remember it, but in that space, you know, that's where the potential, the untapped potential lives. That is what the quantum physicists call the quantum field of possibility. That's the infinite potential I'm talking about. That's what Ernest Holmes calls mind, the mind of God. In that silence, we can catch new ideas. In that silence, we can hear or get creative ways to solve the problems that are going on in our lives, new ways of doing things. We can hear the direction of whatever the next step is to take into that abundance that we are wanting to live in. And so one of my favorite stories about the gap and being in the silence is a story about Thomas Edison. And so Thomas Edison had a laboratory or an office or wherever he did his stuff. And apparently Thomas Edison was not a good sleeper. And so his wife put a couch in his office, his study, his laboratory, so that he could take a nap because he didn't sleep very well. And so Thomas Edison had a habit of then laying down to take a nap during the day. But what he did is, God is calling now. So when he lay down to take a nap, what he would do is hold this heavy bolt in his hand. And right as he fell asleep, the bolt would fall out of his hand and wake him up. And it was in an instant that the whole entire phonograph in all of its components came to him in that gap space. That gap space is where the potential of the universe lives. And so once or twice a year, we have a Tzay service here at church, and it's a service that is all music and meditation and being in that silence of our own being. And we used to have a congregant, Barbara Zunich, who has moved to Arizona, so she's not with us anymore. And after a Tzay service one time, she was kind of complaining to me afterwards that she doesn't like to meditate and that she has a hard time meditating and how most of the time she's fidgety and stuff. She says, but you know, when I was sitting there, I've been having this problem with a woman who's in this club that I belong to, and it came to me how to resolve it and what to say to her. That's what I'm talking about. You know, when we sit in meditation, we're not sitting there for 20 minutes in absolute silence most of the time. There's jabbering of our minds going on, but we get moments of being in that silence where we are privy to that inner guidance, privy to the intelligence of the universe, privy to our own wisdom that we hadn't yet discovered, privy to the possibilities that we didn't even know existed. Spiritual practice and meditation and being in the silence of our own being enables that to happen. And so Joel Goldsmith, who is a mystic, he was a Christian Science practitioner and was a master at that realization of oneness and a master at that realization that that presence is in and through and as and around everything that exists. And so I'd like to share a very short little meditation that he wrote with you. So he invites us to close your eyes. He says, close your eyes and within yourself, silently, sacredly, secretly, and gently, say the word I. I. That I in the midst of you is mighty. That I in the midst of you is greater than any problem in the outside world. That I in the midst of you is come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That I has been with you since before Abraham was, awaiting your recognition and your acknowledgement. When you admit that I into your consciousness, you have admitted life eternal, the bread of life, the water of life, and the wine of life. You have admitted into your consciousness the power of a resurrection, the resurrection of your body, your home, your marriage, your fortune, and your business. It is only when you admit I into your consciousness do you admit into yourself the secret of life. When you acknowledge that I in the midst of you is mighty, you are not speaking of a man or of any person. You are speaking of the I. And so I invite you to open your eyes. That I is none other than the presence of God and none other than that which is infinite potentiality itself. That consciousness of that I or I am presence of that infinite one is the thing that moves us out of being stuck in our lives. It's the thing that moves us out of thinking that there isn't enough or that we aren't enough. It's the thing that moves us into communion with that infinite one. It's the thing that moves us into an awareness that there is only one. The truth of oneness. And so Michael Beckwith in this book reminds us that you are the life of God fulfilling itself. Your life is the life of God fulfilling itself. You are the way that God fulfills itself in this universe. Why would God want to withhold from you? That would be to withhold from itself. You are God's way of fulfilling itself in this world. You are the way. Your life is the life of God. Unfolding. And that presence unfolds according to your beliefs and your attitudes and your thoughts and your focus. And so Michael Beckwith also says in this book, he invites us to cultivate sensing and knowing that Spirit longs to fully give of itself to you. That's the way that Spirit expresses. That's the way that life expresses. That's the way that the universe expresses by means of each and every single one of us. We are avenues. That is the truth. Spirit longs to unfold itself through you. And so my invitation to you this week is to live in that awareness, that Spirit longs to unfold itself through you and through your life. To live in that awareness that there is only one life. There is only one life. Your life is that life. It's a piece of that life. It's an individuation and expression of that life. Like a ray of sun, your life is a ray of that life of God. To live in that awareness that that I am presence is within you, and all around you, permeating everything. That awareness enables you to open the door from the inside. That awareness enables you to be receptive and open to and to receive that kingdom of infinite good that is already here in untapped potential, simply awaiting your recognition of it. And so blessings to each and every single one of you on this path of awakening and this path of remembering and this path of giving way to that magnificence of the universe. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. Remember, I said it is that thing that helps us remember and see and recognize that, yes, indeed, there is only one. And it is this one that fills everything. It is this one that permeates all that is. It is this one that is expressing itself as all that is, in and through and around and as, uplifting and carrying and buoying and unfolding itself as the all. For I recognize that this thing I call God is the all in all. It is the power, and it is the love, and it is the peace. And it is the good that is limitless. It is creativity itself, and it is magnificence. And it is this one that is everywhere present, this power and presence and beingness of God. And not only does it fill all of time and all of space with its beingness, but it fills us, and it permeates our lives. It permeates our thinking, and it permeates our perceptions, and it permeates our conversations. It fills our homes, and it fills our places of work, and it fills our hearts, and it expresses as our minds. And so today, as we recognize that we live and move and have our beingness within this one, we open ourselves to boundless good. We open ourselves to an abundance of everything that makes our lives rich and rewarding and fulfilling and satisfying. For I know indeed that it is God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. For that is how God expresses itself. And so today, we open our hearts and our minds and our hands and our arms in an attitude of a receptivity, saying yes. And I claim and know right now that anything and everything that has been blocking this flow is simply falling away, is simply dissipating, because it has been based in a false belief or an incomplete perception. And the light of God is filling that space right now with truth, filling that space right now with the light of its own beingness. And healing is occurring. Healing of bodies and healings of circumstances and healing of thoughts. That which does not serve this high expression of the divine is dissipating into the nothingness from whence it came. For there is only one law, and it is the law of life, and it is a law of good, and it is a law of increase. Today we live in that. And we live in that tomorrow and the next day and the next. What a blessing it is to be living this opulence of the divine. And so I claim and know that opulence is ours now, and that it is unfolding itself now. And so we just step in absolute gratitude and in thanksgiving and in appreciation and in celebration of that. And so I release this prayer into that creative womb of the universe, knowing that it is unfolding all around us right now. Because we have said yes, and because it has always been the truth. And so we reside in the truth. And I release this prayer, and I let it be, and I say, thank you, life. And so it is.